For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about the wonderful Counselor. That's one of the names of God, the name which was given to Jesus. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. In 2 Peter 1:3, we read, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. I read yesterday from a clipping from a Canadian magazine that speaks of how we are being taken for a ride by psychiatry. There are many things which would have much simpler solutions. I also read from Peanuts. Peanuts is not one of the authorities that I refer to very often, but I thought this was very appropriate. Here's the little puppy dog and a bunny before the judge. And the puppy dog says, "What I'm trying to say, Your Honor, is that my client was severely wronged by Mr. McGregor. When Mr. McGregor chased my client, this innocent little bunny, with a rake, he caused him great emotional distress." In the next frame, we see the bunny and the puppy both sniffing and rubbing their eyes. "Your Honor, may we have a 10-minute recess?" says the puppy dog, and he's got the sniffing bunny in his arms. Well, it's one thing to be sympathetic. It's another thing to make a judgment about emotional distress. Now, how much should we expect the law to regard emotional distress? We hear about tremendous settlements in suits because of emotional distress. And then there's also a clipping of Calvin and Hobbes where the little boy says, "Nothing I do is my fault." I guess we've heard that before, haven't we? He goes on to say, "My family is dysfunctional, my parents won't empower me, consequently I'm not self-actualized. My behavior is addictive, functioning in a disease process of toxic codependency. I need holistic healing and wellness before I'll accept my responsibility for my actions." And the tiger says to him, "One of us needs to stick his head in a bucket of ice water." Well, I have tried always on Gateway to Joy to speak of the day-by-day relevance of the Bible, the Word of God, to our ordinary lives. Christianity is not Christianity if it's not practical, if it makes no discernible difference in our lives. It's my purpose to point every listener to Christ Himself, because He is familiar with suffering. It says in Isaiah that He is acquainted with grief. He was despised, stricken, smitten, pierced, and crushed, and it is by His wounds that we are healed. I had read earlier this week about counseling, an article which was an interview with Dr. Larry Crabb in Christianity Today. Quite astonishing that Dr. Crabb is recommending that counseling therapy be returned to the churches. He's speaking of having godly older men and women in the churches, not with any particular degree or title, but they're the ones to whom the younger ones are supposed to go. And I applaud Dr. Crabb's idea. It wouldn't make a ripple if I were to say it, because, of course, I'm not a psychiatrist, but he is. And over the years, he has learned many things about what's going on in Christian families and Christian lives, individual lives. And back to the scriptures, we see that in Titus 2, the Apostle Paul teaches the young pastor Titus that the older men are to teach the younger men, and the older women are to teach the younger women. I find very few older women who have taken that responsibility seriously. I have a letter here from a listener. She said, For 12 years, I've been in counseling and 12-step groups, desperately trying to improve self-esteem, but to no avail. Only recently have I stopped trying to love myself, and doing so has set me free to really love others. For you see, the problem is that we already love ourselves. Pride is horrifying, and I was aghast to see how filled I was with pride. I decided my problem was sin, and not, quote, defects of character, unquote, or, quote, dysfunction, unquote. And I found the remedy that had eluded me all those 12 years. The remedy was forgiveness. Thank you for boldly asserting the error and danger of the search for self-esteem. And I take my text when I speak about self-esteem from Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. Paul says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." The obedient heart is the heart that will learn. And when I hear people talking about learning to love themselves, I would like to ask them, which self are you talking about? The Bible makes a very sharp distinction between the old self and the new self. The old one is the carnal self, the fleshly, selfish self, and the new one is that in which Christ dwells. "To me, to live is Christ," Paul said. And in Colossians, he tells us that Christ is in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm so grateful that Dr. John MacArthur has put out a book called Our Sufficiency in Christ. And he has some very cogent things to say about what has been going on in theology, the focus of theology, in the past two decades. He tells us that it has become more and more humanistic. The focus has shifted from God to people and their problems. Counseling has replaced worship and evangelism as the main program of many churches. Another evidence that many are losing confidence in Christ's sufficiency is the church's increasing fascination with pragmatic methodology. I'm reading now from Dr. John MacArthur's Our Sufficiency in Christ. "Counseling is not the only program that has supplanted teaching, fellowship, communion, and prayer as the chief activities of the church life. Many churches have de-emphasized preaching and worship in favor of entertainment, apparently believing they must lure converts by appealing to fleshly interests, as if Christ himself were in some way inadequate. Many church leaders now believe they must excite people's fancies in order to win them. The church is foundering in a slough of worldliness and self-indulgence. We desperately need a generation of leaders with the courage to confront the trend. We need godly men and women committed to the truth that in Christ we inherit spiritual resources sufficient for every need, every problem, everything that pertains to life and godliness." I like what Goethe, the German philosopher, said. "Only God knows who I am, and may God preserve me from ever finding out." I was talking with a young man not long ago who had been through 90 sessions of counseling. I asked him what he had learned. He had certainly put out a very large amount of money, and he confessed that he really learned all that was helpful to him within the first two or three sessions. All the rest was a colossal waste of time and money. Again, I want to emphasize, try God first, take your problem to the foot of the cross. Kneel before the Lord, spread out your problem. Maybe it's a good idea to write it out, whatever it is, and just spread it before the face of God. And as you listen and remain silent before Him, you may be surprised at the wonderful clarity that will seem to come out of what seemed to be nothing but chaos and darkness. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Very probably we're neglecting that when we get so bound up with our own tragedies and our own feelings. May God help us to turn first to Him. Go to the foot of the cross, as Christian did in Pilgrim's Progress. He found that his burden dropped off his back, rolled down the hill, and into the tomb. And he looked up at the cross, and he said, "He hath given me rest by his sorrows, and life by his death."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.